Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, January 5th, the Banning Bad Words edition. I'm Zach Rosen. I make the Best Advice Show podcast. I'm the father to Noah, who's 5, and Ami, who's 2, and we live in Detroit.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of 3 littles, Henry, who's 10, Oliver, who's 8, and Teddy, who's 6. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who's 9 3/4, and we live in Los Angeles.
We're so glad to be back with you all. We've had a bit of time to rack up some good triumphs and fails, which we'll catch up on first. Then we've got a good question about bad words. Finally, if you're sticking around for Slate Plus, we're going to be comparing notes about how we kept the kids busy over break to see if there's any gems or strategies to remember for next time. Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
Can we just talk about how long these breaks are, though?
Like, so long.
3 weeks is a really long time for any family to have to figure out childcare, you know? Like, yeah. Folks work in offices, you know, have deadlines and things that can't be moved, like, I don't know. I know that teachers deserve 3 weeks off, but
right.
Oh, boy.
Being a Slate Plus member means that you get a bonus segment for us each week, unlimited access to the Slate website. And perhaps best of all, you get to listen without any ad interruptions. That's right, zero. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. Okay, we're going to catch up on our week in parenting, but not before a quick break. See you back here in a second.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
All right. Jamila, how are we going to start this year off? Triumph or fail?
Well, I just racked up a fail in real time. My co-host got to see it. So we record at 10 a.m. my time. And at 9:54, Naima informed me that she wanted a second breakfast, of course. So I go to make her some instant oatmeal. We have 2 packets left. She can eat 2 packets usually. Sometimes she won't, you know. But I generally, if I'm making her a bowl in the morning, I'll make 2. And there might be a little leftover. Maybe I'll eat it. Maybe I'll save it for the next day. But I was like, oh, well, she's already eaten this morning. I don't think she's, you know, that hungry. And I don't want to waste it since it's the last pack of oatmeal. So I just made her 1 packet. And right when we got ready to record, she came in here and she says, where's the rest of the oatmeal? This is such a tiny amount. I should note that Naima traveled with her dad over the break for a week. She just got back from Egypt. Very cool for her. Cool. So we haven't spent time together in a week. So I'm just kicking off my parenting with failure. Like, I've already forgotten who she is in just a week.
Let me ask, do you think she can make her own instant oatmeal yet?
You know, I was thinking about that. I noticed when I went to Chicago for the holiday, and I spent time with my sister and her family, and my nephew, who's the same age as Naima, a couple months older, cooks more than she does. You know, he can make his own egg sandwich in the morning. And I was like, wow, you know, I got to get Naima cooks with me. But it's usually like we're making macaroni, we're baking a cake, you know. Yeah. And so I think she's capable. You know, I think there's also a little mommy magic that goes into my oatmeal. Like the same way my mother's oatmeal was always really good. Like, even with it being instant, I always add a little razzle dazzle. Like, today I made it with eggnog. So I don't know that her oatmeal will be as good.
Wait, eggnog instead of water or just in addition to?
Half water, half eggnog.
Nice.
Eggnog is such a clutch. Oh my gosh. Like, I almost want to recommend eggnog this week because I've noticed that usually I buy it, and when we do buy it, like, I'll have a cup and, like, it goes bad. It doesn't, you know, get finished up. And this time around, I've been, like, putting it in my coffee and sneaking it into recipes. And I have to say, it's very useful.
Amazing.
Yeah. But I do think that, to answer your question, it is about time to at least maybe let her try.
Like, she could make the second bowl.
Maybe. Right, if one's not enough.
If one's not enough,
that's a good idea. Don't you feel like, though, this is what kids do. They make liars out of us, right? Like, if you, I mean, you said this before. I'm just repeating what you said off air. If you had made her two, it would have been too much.
It would have been too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we weren't recording today, she wouldn't have asked you for another.
Right.
Probably
but
not.
The allure of you on the computer already talking to us, it's like when you get on the phone and your children who haven't spoken to you all day,
all of
a sudden, all need you. Even though 2 minutes before you went and said, I'm about to have a phone call. Does anyone need anything? Nope. Nope. They don't want anything to do with you. Then all of a sudden, this is the moment.
This is the moment.
These could all be lyrics to the new Alanis Morissette version of Ironic Parenting Edition.
Parenting Edition.
Where things it's are like still not bowl, ironic.
Yeah. No. just not, do annoying. I still not understand
just
irony?
Just annoying.
It's like one bowl of oatmeal when your child wanted to.
I guess, though, back to Naima making oatmeal, that oatmeal is the oatmeal requires boiling water. So maybe that isn't like the safest.
You put it in the microwave.
On her own.
Put it in the microwave.
Oh, microwave.
Or
yeah.
They
right.
can boil it in the kettle.
Mm-hmm. I should get a
maybe
kettle.
2023 will be the year of making her own breakfast.
Yeah, I think it's time for that. She should be a little bit more independent, less princess. It's time.
For the second bowl, I'm all about, listen, everything tastes better when someone else has made it. That is why we all go to Starbucks.
Especially right? your parent. Yeah. Well, regardless, eggnog oatmeal is going in the mom and dad
cookbook.
Yep. What about you, Elizabeth? What's been going on in your wild world?
Okay, so I am taking a fail. We had my family in town for like, I don't know, 12 days or something over Christmas. My parents came in first, then my sister had a great time, but we're like at home. I mean, we went out and did things, but we were at home. And I think the day before Christmas, Jeff was browsing online and was like, hey, there's really cheap flights to Vegas if we fly on New Year's Day. Do you want to fly on New Year's Day to Vegas with the kids? And I was like, okay, that sounds great. Let's go to Vegas with the kids. The plan was to go like to hit some of the national parks, but we wanted to get the cheap flight on New Year's Day and then the cheap flight home because we have tickets to the symphony on Sunday. So like our trip was kind of already set. And because we're recording today, I wanted to make sure that we were like in a hotel, not out in the wilderness. So we ended up on basically being like in Las Vegas proper for 3 full days. To just really wrap up where the fail comes from, Henry exclaimed yesterday in the car, by taking me here, you have ruined my childhood. There's just, you know, my kids are all kind of like sensory. There's a lot of sensory stuff going on. So we took them out on the strip at night to like see the fountains and the volcano. And there's a lot of people. They're all partying and rowdy, and as you do in Vegas, there are people handing out cards with semi-naked women on them. Everyone is smoking. Mm-hmm. These are all things that my children hate. Oliver is double masking because he doesn't like the smell of anything here. Henry is like terrified. Nevada is also like a open carry. You can, of course, be permitted to open carry. So there's lots of people that have like we can visibly see guns, which he doesn't.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like, so I feel like, I mean, on one hand, I feel like success, like my kids are appropriately terrified of certain things.
Yeah.
And they're having, you know, when we kind of broke it down, like, hey, but didn't you like seeing the fountains? Yeah, we took them. There's a Meow Wolf here, which is like a interactive, immersive art experience. And this one is like this grocery store and you get to go through the shelves into all these different worlds. They thought that was like amazing. We took them last night to like a medieval times type show, which somehow we had never taken our kids to, but they have one here in Excalibur Casino, which looks like a castle, and then you go in and people are like jousting and fighting each other, and mm-hmm. each section is rooting for a different country or king. Well, we ended up in the section of the king that cheats. It's not that there's also like a villain of the show. We were not in that, but our guy cheated on every event, and that upset the children. You know, like, how could you put us
like
in this
performatively cheating? Like, we're supposed to notice
like
that
he's supposed to be the cheater.
He's supposed to be the cheater.
Uh-huh.
But our kids were like, how could you seat us in this section? None of these other kings are cheating. Like, we didn't read enough because we planned this trip like, you know, 5 days ago. So yes, they are largely not happy with us. We are like, we're pretty much done with the strip part of the trip. We're headed into the wilderness where it's freezing and we'll trudge through snow and they'll be mad at me about that. But yes, I have terrified them all by taking them to Disneyland for adults.
You've ended their childhood.
I have.
I'm just perpetually impressed by the travel bug that lives mm-hmm. within you all. Like, you all travel so much, but Jeff was like, we should travel more at the last minute.
Yeah.
It's kind of incredible.
We are restless souls, I think, is really the problem.
Now your kids know what escorts are.
Yes, yes. When we were like, do not take anything from anyone who hands it to you on this trip.
Wow.
All right.
That's right.
Zach, what about you, though? Triumph or fail to kick off your new year?
I have a triumph. We spent a week up north. Like, going up north means the northern part of lower Michigan, if you're a Michigander in particular. So we drove like 3 hours northwest to stay at an Airbnb with some friends of ours and their kid for 3 days, and then drove further north about an hour to the coast of Lake Michigan to stay with different friends for a couple days. So it was a week away living with two different families. I was kind of dreading it going in, thinking like, man, like, we're gonna get stir crazy, it's gonna be too cold, there isn't like so much stuff to do, there also isn't much snow, but it's cold, so like we might not even be able to sled. We ended up having a great time, and I actually was able to relax even though there were like kids running around everywhere. And that's partly where my triumph comes in. My family shared a bedroom in both spots for the whole week, so it was all four of us sleeping in one room, which we hadn't done lately, and we hadn't done ever for this long, not that I can recall. But it was very sweet. My kids stayed up late because it was break, so they both were staying up till like 9 or 10 each night, which was fine. And I loved just like hearing their cute breathing while they were sleeping. And we all slept pretty well. And the great triumph comes in the morning, because Ami was going to sleep so much later. He was sleeping in pretty late too, some days until like 8:30 with us. But Noah would sometimes wake up earlier, like she would wake up at 7 or 7:30 or 8 or even like 6:30 one of the days. But she's 5 now, and she would just like get dressed. She likes getting dressed right away. My wife does too. They don't like wearing pajamas all day, which I don't understand. But she would just like get dressed, brush her teeth on her own, and then just like go out to the main room where there might be a kid from the other family playing, or there might just be the adults. But she would just like do her own thing and let the three of us sleep. And so she was like totally self-sufficient for the first like hour or two of the day while the three of us were still in the room. And then Ami would wake up, like I said, maybe at like 8 or 8:30. And then one of us would get up with him and leave the room. And then Shira and I had a really nice alternative day sleep-in thing, which we hadn't been able to do in a while because, you know, we have to work or we have to get the kids to school or daycare. But like every day, one of us was able just to stay in bed until like 9:30, which just decadent and
so
just amazing. Like, you know, that feeling of like staying in bed until like you're actually like ready to get up.
Yes.
Like, do you even remember what, like, that's, I forgot what that felt like, where it's like, okay, I can actually get up now. Like, I don't need to stay here any longer.
Yeah.
And that feeling I get so seldom these days, and I was able to get it for a whole week, which is part of what vacation's all about. So I'm feeling decent going into the new year.
That sounds amazing.
I want to thank my family for making it happen. Well, on that note, we're going to take another quick break. See you back here for our listener question. All right, it's time for our question, which is being read, as always, by the sensational Shasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad, our 3.5-year-old is just discovering the power of bad words, including stupid. When he gets upset about a boundary I am setting, like not throwing toys or needing to take a bath, he will say, "Stupid mommy. I don't know how to handle this." Most of the parenting advice books slash accounts I follow advise the use of logical consequences, which makes sense to me in most scenarios. Like, if you throw your food on the floor, then dinner is over. But what is the logical consequence when a toddler uses hurtful language? We've tried talking about it during a calmer moment and explaining that words can be hurtful. We also have tried some completely illogical consequences, which haven't worked either. I think the best thing to do when this happens would probably be to ignore the behavior so that I'm not making the words even more powerful with a big reaction. But this is really hard to do, especially when he says, "stupid mommy" or "stupid daddy" in front of other people. Any ideas? Thanks so much. I love the show. Bad with words.
What say you, Jamila?
Well, I'm curious to know what the completely illogical consequences were. I really wish that you had elaborated for us on that. But this is relatable and common. You know, kids pick up words around this age and they get fixated on them and they want to repeat them over and over. My mom loves to tell the story of me hearing some, you know, maybe teenagers or guys in their 20s in the park cursing one day. And the next thing she knew, I was just saying shit, shit, shit over and over again. I was very delighted by it. You know, I think it's time for some logical consequences, you know, even though those aren't always easy to maintain with three-year-olds. But, you know, that when a mean word is said, that's the end of the game, or that's the end of playtime, or we're going to take a timeout. I'm such a timeout person, you know, like, hey, we've talked about this before. And again, I know you've already had this conversation, but you'll have to keep having it, you know, that like words can hurt people and we have to be very careful what we say, just as we have to be careful with our hands, you know, because I'm sure they're already aware that if you put your hands on someone in a mean way, that it'll hurt them, that words can do just the same thing. And except for you can't see the injury, you know, so it hurts, but you don't, you know, you can't see where you've hurt somebody, but just know that you've done it. Oh my God, something my mother told me, maybe a little bit too traumatizing because I took it very literally, but when I was not, I guess around the same age, she told me that every time I hurt her feelings, a little piece of her heart disappeared. And I had this visual of my mother's heart just like being gone. And it being my fault, you know, but I took it somewhat seriously, you know, obviously not too seriously, because I guess I had gotten to the point where I was like, wait, I think we're in danger of the heart disappearing here, you know, but I thought about it a lot. I think what would also be really helpful is to find a book or two about the topic. I found a few cute ones, Little Bird's Bad Word, which is a picture book about a little bird named Little Bird who learns a bad word that he loves so much he wants to share it with all his friends. And his father has to talk to him about the fact that this word is going to be hurtful. There's also Elbert's Bad Word and My Mouth is a Volcano and I Can't Believe You Said That from the Best Me I Can Be series. I would definitely suggest getting a book or two. I think sometimes it helps kids understand that these are not just things coming from mommy or daddy's brain, but that like this is real. Other kids are dealing with this. Other families are dealing with this. But again, those consequences should matter. So if you say stupid mommy while we're playing, you know, tea party, then the tea party is over for now. What do you all think?
I'm going to disagree a little bit. I think it's really normal for kids to switch from expressing their anger through using their hands to using their words. And so on the first hand, you should like celebrate that perhaps you are over that first bump, right? Like that they're now no longer going to hit or that's going to be less, but instead now they have found the power of their voice. I hesitate to give like a consequence to a three-year-old, almost four-year-old for something like stupid, because I worry that that gets confused then with telling them that their anger is bad. Because what they're doing is using this word to tell you, I'm super angry. You know, kids don't do things the first time we ask them to do things. And so have you provided the right instruction when they are calm to let them know what to do when they feel this way? So to me, when your child says, you know, you're stupid or stupid mommy, you know, the first thing you need to do is be like, this is not personal. Like, do that internal check-in. Like, they don't actually think I'm stupid. They love me very much. This is a moment where I need to be calm and understand that they are the one that is angry. And then saying like, okay, I see that you're angry. So now we're going through that normal toddler anger stuff or preschool anger stuff. You are super angry because I, you know, said we had to stop playing. And that is really frustrating. Now, listen, I don't always do this perfectly. I always want to cage that to say, like, when my kid is like, mommy, 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 it makes me really frustrated and I want to yell or lash out. But I try to think in those moments when we tell them, stop playing, we have to go, it's the same thing, right? Like, we have annoyed them. And so can you say, like, hey, I know that this is really frustrating. You are really angry. Unfortunately, we have to go, or it's time to stop playing or whatever. And then when they are calm, I think is a time to have, Jamila, like what you're saying, this conversation comes then. Like, not mm-hmm. in that moment in terms of a consequence, but saying, like, when you say those things, it hurts me. And it makes yep. me feel sad. Like, I think this is where reading those books, right? Because the advantage of books is that you're addressing these topics outside of the moment when it's personal for them. That it's like, hey, this time that we share together reading, we're reading about this thing we're going through, and then we can employ those steps. But I just think that in the moment, you need to think, this is not about this word. This is about that they don't know what to do with this feeling of anger. And so can I give them a name for what they're actually feeling? Because, you know, anger is a secondary emotion. It comes from feeling something else, like you mm-hmm. are sad that you're stopped playing, or you're frustrated that you had to stop playing, or whatever that boundary is. Letting them know that you're going to continue to enforce the boundary. And then when they're calm, letting them know that this is why we don't use language like that, and it's hurtful.
The big thing is, like, just not freaking out. Like, that's going to make them do it more. And like you were saying, Elizabeth, just like, even if your feelings aren't actually hurt, which, you know, hopefully they aren't when you get called stupid, but just be like, maybe even a little bit performatively, like, that really hurts my feelings when you say that. Did you know that? Like, did you know that you were hurting my feelings? And just to do it really calmly, because that can also help to just kind of lower the temperature of the moment. So that has worked for us to some degree. But also, if it just persists, sometimes I just, like, ignore it and walk away. And I'm sure you've tried that too. But I think, like, the big thing here is, like, they're onto a new phase, and this too is a phase that, as long as, like, you're not modeling this behavior, which I'm sure you're not, this is going to pass too. And then it's just, like, completely normal.
When they get to be preteens, I think some of this comes back, right? Like, the power of words, and they're not using stupid. They use other things when they're angry. They say things that they know are hurtful because they feel hurt. I don't know if you, like, we are definitely starting to see some of that with Henry. Just like, he knows the power of his words, and he doesn't have to use stupid anymore. He can, like, say things that he knows is hurtful. But I feel that we have laid the groundwork that when he is calm, he knows how to come back and repair the relationship, right? And he knows that I still love him, even if he says these things in this moment of anger. And I mean, just before break, we were all talking about how we have those moments still where we lose our cool with our kids because it's just annoying.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And I think in many ways, like, this is kind of the first instance of that. We have to be the ones to show them, you know, what the consequences to that are in terms of, like, our relationship. But you don't necessarily do that with a physical consequence. That is, like, the work on the heart that you have to do. And that work is just, like, hard.
Well, bad with bad words. Please let us know how it goes. Also, we are actually curious about the logical consequences that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So you can let us know what those were. If anyone else out there listening has dealt with this, let us know how you did it. Send us a voice memo or a note to momanddad@slate.com. That's also where you can send us any questions of your own. And that's it for our show. Don't forget to join us Monday. And while you're at it, please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Christy Taiwo Macanjula. For Jamila Lemieux and Elizabeth Newcamp, I'm Zach Rosen. Thank you for listening.